Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my live, ready to take your call gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening, gardeners.
Yeah, good evening out there.
Hello, everybody. We're ready.
We're ready. Ready for rain. I rolled up my windows.
I rode
the scooter into town, so it's bound to rain.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. We'll take it.
Yep.
That's been something that's been quite joyous, MIA. Hasn't it?
Whoa. It's been MIA, and now it's here. It's so fun.
Yeah. Glad to have it back.
Yeah.
And give us a ring, 527-486-81866, KVNF now. Jeff in there ready to take your call and pass it on to our experts here.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we're munching on some delicious wild plums.
Wild
Lance.
Plums. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are these from your garden area?
No, they're from Paonia.
From Paonia?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Up on Pitkin Mesa.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Oh, they have a
beautiful patina.
Mm-hmm. On them, that color's fabulous.
They're the little yellow ones in
yellows,
the summer.
Reddish color.
Reddish color.
A little coppery.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Good flavor.
Thank you for bringing those.
Yeah. I thought they were sun golds. My sun golds are
tomatoes.
Coming ready.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can hardly stand myself.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting.
It is. Yeah. Because I still have some from dried. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to learn to say tomato.
I'm trying to learn to say tomato.
Okay, well, you know.
We had this conversation earlier with something else. Aunt and aunt.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, we had an email from Lita in Redvale, who, you know, Redvale's down there in Montrose County.
Right.
Kind of southwest.
Right. It's kind of far from here.
Yeah, it is. 6,500 feet down there. What kind of mulch would you suggest for trees and shrubs in Redvale? Might be kind of down there by Charis on Horsefly Mesa area-ish. Maybe a little bit lower.
Yeah. Wow, 6,500 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any organic matter that you can get your hands on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could put, just for weed control, put cardboard or newspapers, you know, any of that stuff first on. And if those are all perennial beds, you can use wood chips.
Would you use wood chips around the trees? I don't know that I would.
Well, any mulch I would keep at least 6 to 12 inches away from the base of plants.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the rodents live in there and they'll girdle the trees
yeah.
or the plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll chew on the bark. They just have to chew. It's not that they need to eat, mm-hmm. but they need to chew. That's just their
right.
nature.
Right. Well, their little teeth will get weird if
yeah.
they don't chew them down
yeah.
and stuff.
So I'm really not a wood chip fan, but hay, straw, leaves,
right.
grass
I wonder,
cuttings.
I wonder how big these trees are. I wonder what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Right. But, you have a lot of hay. You use a lot of hay in your yard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I use an amazing amount of hay. I was thinking about that. And, I really get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why particularly, except that maybe I always use the hay that's been sitting and rotting
uh-huh.
for a while. But I don't really have...
You get away with it rodent-wise, you mean?
No, I get away with it seed-wise.
Oh, seed-wise, right.
You know, I get away with it. It doesn't bring a lot of problems to my
mm-hmm.
gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put it on thick.
Yeah, always really
thick. And you got to put it on, you know, maybe once or twice a year maybe.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You know, to keep it breaking down
yeah.
and those seeds too deep to germinate.
Yeah, too deep to germinate. So I just thinned. My collards and my kale, and I'll probably do it one more time, but I thinned them to the point, and they're big enough and strong enough now to where I feel comfortable putting the hay mulch in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, prior to that, there, you know, it does come with roly-polies and,
yeah.
you know, what do you call those pincher ones?
The earwigs.
Mm-hmm. Earwigs and,
right.
you know, and cutworm. I mean, I guess, you know, that's what I'm saying is I really... For the amount that I use, I get away.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of problems.
Yeah, we'll start like 6 to 12 inches from the base of the plant and go out to, you know, a foot beyond the drip line.
For the trees, are we talking?
The trees and the shrubs, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless it's all one area, then you do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's specimen plantings is the term, you just got one plant, then just go from the base out, to a foot outside the drip line.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Lita down there in Redvale has another question. What can she plant with poppies that will be there after the poppies are gone?
Oh, the $64,000 question.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have some friends, and what we do for them is we keep the poppies pulled around the other perennials that are in there in the early spring. We just enough to give them sunlight. And there's sedums. There's hollyhocks in there. There's Russian sage. There's these other ones that you can put in there. And there's actually even some perennial annual ornamental grasses. And we just, they'll be there after those poppies, those perennial poppies. So any of your more stouter perennials, they'll work.
Yeah, I've discovered by chance that irises will do okay.
Oh, okay.
With the poppies. Uh-huh. And I have those big, vibrant yellow ones in one patch.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to thin those irises out and put those around in the poppies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I mean, I'm constantly just letting stuff duke it out.
Uh-huh.
So the poppies are duking it out right now with yarrow.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. This is just a thought past my head. Clematis, like cold feet and a hot head.
Yeah.
So if you plant them with the poppies, that's your cover, that's your ground cover. That's cold feet. And then you put them up on a wall. If it's next to a wall or a trellis or something, you got a hot head.
Okay. Huh. I did not know that about clematis. That's an easy way to understand.
Like,
cold feet and a hot head. Head.
It sounds weird. Don't take that too seriously.
Yeah, Ms. Clematis.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if... never mind. I wonder if you could do something like hops. And instead of growing them up, just let them do a ground cover. Just let them grow out.
Mm-hmm.
Just grow around on the ground.
Yeah.
Because they die back completely every year.
Right, right.
I wonder what
And they grow pretty darn fast.
Yeah, they grow like
they
crazy.
They cover that real easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody has a fabulous solution to the poppies die-off problem, give us a call. You know what else I have? Morning glories. If I cut my poppies down early enough,
uh-huh.
the morning glories will start to come up them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the annual, the big blue.
Yeah, the big blue or purple or whatever. And I just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. And then I have all those currants in my poppies as well. So
variety, it sounds like, a little
so there's
diversity
options.
In there.
Everybody
trying different things.
They're,
so.
Oops, I'm sorry, Lance.
I wonder, Maximilian Sunflower would work in there too.
That would be a really interesting
because you got
to see who's going to duke it out first.
Yeah, there goes it.
You got the poppies early and the Maximilian Sunflowers late.
Yeah, and the Maximilian has such and they both like that hot sun, so that would work. But the Maximilians have such a dense root system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, try it.
Try
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
come on, somebody out there has done this. Somebody.
Yeah.
As many ideas as you guys had right there,
somebody's thought of something.
Some thinking going on. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Last week, Jen from Ridgeway, who listens all the time, called and was talking about fire ants. And you had a little recipe you wanted to share?
Well, I remember there's one more thing in it.
We were trying to remember.
And I finally
figured
out.
All the ways.
It's boric acid, and you can buy it in a powdered form. And you mix it with a sweetener of some sort, and you would put that on the nest. And they will take it down into the nest, and it will kill them that way. They won't touch the boric acid. You have to mix it with
entice them to take it down. Otherwise, they won't.
Yeah,
they'll go around it. They're not stupid. They're pretty evolved creatures.
Yes, they are.
Well, they've been living for how long?
Long
a few
time.
Million billion years.
Yeah,
but they still like boric acid tea.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what? That reminds me, million billion years. We have to really stay on it, I've decided, with our Paris climate change agreement. So anybody who's out there who's got a great thing that they're doing to reduce their CO2, I would love to hear about it. And just turn your dryer off. I'm going to be on this campaign forever.
Do it.
Yeah.
Just turn it off. God, just don't use it. And grow more grass. That makes more oxygen. Mm-hmm. I was watching this documentary on chasing coral.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's really depressing.
Yeah.
Don't watch it unless you want to be depressed.
That's a whole other topic. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
let's talk about what we're harvesting. How about that?
But it is a garden.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Exquisite
Absolutely.
Underwater garden of living creatures. It's so bizarre. Anyway. Okay. Never mind. I'm done.
New potatoes.
Harvesting new potatoes.
New potatoes. Mm-hmm. Potato onions. Yeah. You know, let's see. Course, all
your garlic, Lulu?
Yeah, garlic. I dug up one clove of elephant garlic. The tops are all brown, so I don't know what went on there exactly. But you know, there's a clove under there. It's not a trophy size clove, but it's there.
Yeah, I'm not sure because leeks are is a leek.
Yeah. The elephant garlic is closer
to a leek than
actual
an onion or the garlic.
Oh, okay.
And it just said it happens to make cloves, so they call it garlic, elephant garlic, but it's really a leek.
It's really a leek.
So I don't know how to count that in the actual proper time to...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right, because it's a little different. Well, some of the plants in the patch are fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing their thing, but some of them just... They're out of there. They're done.
Just get them out and eat them.
Yeah, eat them. Time to eat them.
Yum.
Sounds yum,
good.
Yum, eat them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of carrots, lots of lettuce, cilantro. My first tomato's ready.
Yeah. The sun golds are coming. Yeah.
It's getting exciting there.
It's getting exciting. Parsley. I harvested all my parsley and dried it. Basil is an ongoing...
All the time.
Ongoing trim and... Oh, and I planted my new basil. As usual, I got a little overzealous with the seeds.
You're going to have to thin?
Oh, yeah. A lot.
She likes her basil.
Yeah.
You know what? You could take a knife and lift a little when they get a little bigger. And if you got a blank spot or you want more in a pot or something, just transplant them.
Oh, yeah.
That's
you know
a good
what?
Idea.
Take an old steak knife and... Go around it.
It's going to be thick, little bed there.
Yeah, well, it's really thick. First, before I even do that, I've got to, you know, pinch them out one at a time. I used to have these great tweezers, and I can't find them. And it's depressing.
Tweeze them out. Tweeze your basil out.
Tweeze my basil out.
Hey,
what else are we eating?
All kinds of things. And maybe Andrea from Hotchkiss is on the line.
Oh, let's talk to Andrea.
How are you tonight?
Hello. Wonderful. How are you all?
Good.
Oh, hi, Andrea. We're great. How are you? You just said you were great. So tell us what you use after the poppies are gone.
Well, I want to tell you what not to use.
Okay,
oh, that's good.
We'll take that too.
there was a historic poppy plant from the first farm that was... that evolved into what I have now. And they were beautiful, lots of beautiful poppies. And then I made the hideous mistake of not asking anyone about Jerusalem artichokes. I had them all dug out last year, and there's one, and there's another. Now they're everywhere again.
Oh, no.
They must multiply like lightning on
their own.
And these are the artichokes, Jerusalem artichokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this year, he did dig a lot of it out, and instead of having two or three poppies, like I've had since then, this time I had maybe 30 poppies, and they were beautiful.
Ah, good.
Mm-hmm. And they live in, they live with, let's see, sweet pea, which I know
I love it.
Actually, it's good in its right place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the perennial scorpio you're talking? Yeah.
Yeah. And in my coffee patch, actually, that's the other thing that grows other than the Jerusalem artichoke. So,
I like that idea.
That's a possibility. And what about something like, it depends on what your altitude is, but something tall that comes later.
Well, there's there's flowering shrubs and roses.
That would work.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would work great.
Right, or the blue sage, you know. The poppies get along really well with my currants. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. And it actually kind of works out. You know, the poppies go away, and then you don't feel bad walking on them to get the currants. It's not too bad.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Unrelated. I have several varieties of basil that have flowered out. Can I cut back the flower stalk and get them to concentrate on the leaves?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Sure. And you can use the flowers, you know, you can
just
dry,
eat them.
Just eat them. Dry everything and just go for it, you know.
They're much more cross-concentrated flavor-wise, so it'll be strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I always get rid of my flowers. Yeah. I don't use my flowers dried that much because I just don't. It weirds out the, I always use Genovese basil, so I don't want the flowers in there, but you can certainly eat basil flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Just,
thank you very much.
Yeah, just cut them back and go for it.
Yeah.
Sounds
right.
Delicious. I can smell the aroma right
oh,
now.
I was picking Thai basil buds this morning.
Oh, were you? Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me smell your hands.
I was just picking
you know
my
why
basil.
I even touched my
Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks.
Great call. Good
thank
question.
Thank you all very much.
All right, talk to you later.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great discussion on the poppies tonight, huh?
Yes. Yeah,
good ideas.
I just thought of something else. What about, never mind. I was going
to. What? No. You are in rare form tonight.
I am.
Well, here's another one. You got that patch of poppies, and at 6,500 feet, this she could probably put some very hardy, say, Reliance grapes.
Oh.
And they both like it hot and dry.
Uh-huh.
You got the poppies early, and the poppies don't like, or the grapes don't like that much competition, so they're done with.
Right.
And
then the grapes would come on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, you could put a couple of grapes in there, too.
Sounds
good. And they
have
different root systems, so the grapes are much deeper.
Yeah, they're going to go way deep.
Way deep, so.
And the poppies just go on forever. They amaze me. There's so many different kinds, right? But I'm talking about the classic orange with all the ruffles.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then there's the classic orange without the ruffles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're perennial. And then, you know, there's all those, there's a zillion, the California poppies. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a lot of luck with those.
California poppies?
Yeah.
I have places where I work at where they've gone wild.
Oh, well, that's
oh, really?
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. And the best thing is to seed them in the fall and let them do their own thing. Don't try to grow them. Just let them do their thing.
Just put it out there.
Yeah. Because that's what has happened with these. And they're in the rock walls.
They're happy.
They're having a good time.
That's perfect.
Seed your poppies in the fall.
Those California poppies seed in the fall. And they're semi-perennial. If it's not a hard winter, they'll winter over.
Mm-hmm. That probably can happen these days.
Yeah. Yep. Any minute now.
Right.
Right.
All right, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. You guys are drying some things. Lulu, you're drying parsley.
Parsley
right now.
And mostly parsley. I dried a whole bunch of equisetum. I got to go get clover and dry that and the alfalfa for the infusion that I drink every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or not every day, but as much as I need to or want to. Yeah, so let's see. What else? I was drying some other stuff, too. I've been busy drying and frying and eating and
irrigating.
Irrigating. Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Right. And, Lance, your einkorn is lodging.
Lodging. It isn't. It is.
It is lodged.
Yeah, it's laying
it
on the ground.
It fell over. Oh, man.
Yeah, so, and that started with that late snowstorm, and then the winds knocking it every which way, you know, and then I haven't had the rains that you've got here, but we've had some. So, but it's lodged, and it's makes it much easier for those rodents to eat them. So I've seen little piles of debris where they chewed a grain head apart you know, and, near it. And so it's sort of it's like, well, I'm going to have to get this out soon because everything else I'm harvesting is just a little early because the rodents are eating them.
Yeah, you got that going this year.
Yeah.
Do you have to keep that off the ground then? Or
what's that?
The einkorn.
I can't touch it. It's not ready.
Oh, if you touched it, it would
yeah,
explode.
It's still not completely dried out,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the next week or two. And I just might get a wild hair and just say the heck with it. When it lodges, it just makes it harder to harvest.
Right.
And there'd be a stalk or two this way and a stalk or two to the other way and maybe another one going the back way. And it's just, you just got to grab it by at the bottom and cut it off of the sickle.
Gotcha. I wonder if that's what happened to my garlic, too. My garlic patch. The regular the elephant garlic turned brown earlier, and the Lake California, a lot of it looks like something walked through there, but I almost don't think so.
Is it a soft neck?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll fall over, just like onions will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're once they fall over, dig them out of the ground.
Get them, yeah.
They're ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I don't remember them doing that in the past.
Well, it's not every year they do.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. It's just a climatic thing in it. All right.
Oh, interesting.
Time to go.
Yeah.
And you're stopping your watering on your lettuce for seed.
Oh,
right?
What happens when lettuce plants start putting up their seed stalks? You don't want to overhead water because those aren't as hardy as you think, and they'll snap with all that fresh water sitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the lettuce, when it's going to seed, produces more seed if it's under water stress.
Instead
of watering it every week, you water it every 2 weeks. And I'll put a hose at the base of it, you know, and that's what I'll start doing now.
Okay. So all the seed going, and you're already thinking about seed crops for next year.
Yeah, and this is just for people out there. Look at those carrots and beets and onions, even the kale and chard patch. And these are biennials. And take the best ones if you want and set them aside. Or you wouldn't be harvesting the carrots and beets right now.
No, but just don't harvest them. Just
make sure and the best thing is if you harvest about 20 to 30. Of those and set them aside for seed production for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And just start to think about this.
Right.
You know, and same with the onions, you'd set aside the same amount. The kale or the chard, you would just leave the whole patch. You wouldn't.
It's going to winter over.
Yeah, they're biennial. The kale winters over really easy. In my garden, the Swiss chard, I'd have to mulch it 12 inches deep. And then it will settle down to 6. Yeah, but I'd have to do that in my garden. The Swiss chard never, you know, and I've even dug up the Swiss chard and threw it in my storage pits. And when I got it out of the storage pit, I replanted it. I've done it that way, too.
Huh.
And both ways work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
5274-868-1866, KVNF now. Kind of hard to believe we're thinking about winter planting and things like that already. But what about compost tea? You guys were talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Should we be, you know, moving into this phase using compost tea? More, less, what?
Well, I was thinking it's time for me to do my whole yard. Take the whole bucket, pour it into the cistern, and run it through the sprinklers.
Okay. Yeah, that's a nice way to do it.
Yeah, it works really well.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's stinky, but it's not real stinky this year. Mm-hmm. Depends on how I make it.
Mm-hmm.
If I make it by just steeping like comfrey, What's the formula? It's comfrey, alfalfa, and tansy.
Mm.
Oh my gosh,
that's your formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes. But that's it. Woo! It's really harsh on your neighbors. It's not so great, you know. So now I just do like a normal compost tea, but I put a lot of willow in it this year.
Your willow bark,
to strengthen things. And I was looking. My little mom is definitely dying.
Oh.
She's dying off another
sorry to
branch.
Hear that.
Yeah, I am too. But, you know, I'll think of something else to do there.
Yeah.
She's not dead yet. She's just slowly dying off all these branches going from east to west. But
interesting.
Yeah, but I was looking at my pear tree and thinking, okay, it needs another pop of that iron, that chelated iron that I did last year. Mm-hmm. What a phenomenal comeback that tree has had. It's great.
Now, that chelated iron, is that you're mixing it with water and then pouring it on that way?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And I I'll do it that way. And, and then and I'll compost tea, water, everything first, and then I'll come back to the pear.
Yeah.
And it'll soak in better and everything. Yeah. So it'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, when you're doing these liquid fertilizers, the ground's not wet. It's not going to...
Yeah. You always want a wet... Yeah. You always want to have a wet start.
Yeah. Moist ground. Otherwise, it just runs off.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
It just sits there, and then the sun gets on it, and then it. Who knows what happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing compost every week, and I'm doing different parts of the garden.
Right. And that's what we talked about that.
Yes.
It's really important not to, you know, Lance says I compost every tea every week. Do not compost tea your whole garden every week or your plants or anything, you know, just.
It'd be too rich.
It's too much.
Yeah. Right. The only plant that I could do that with is the celery. Everything else, it's every other week.
Because celery needs that much.
Celery is a plant from the river deltas going into the Mediterranean.
Oh, that's
and those
way
river
different.
river deltas are extremely nutrient rich, and if you really want succulent stalks, you feed it every 2 weeks or every week if you want. If you want succulent stalks on celery.
I never grew celery.
Yeah, it's generally only if you want to.
I don't.
Yeah.
We've never talked about you growing celery.
Yeah, I grow celery. I've grown it for seed. So my own. Salt.
You've been holding out on us.
this rye's a little stringier, but it's pretty. But that's very, and I like it. It tastes nothing like what you buy out of the store. It is like 5 times stronger.
Really?
And and stalks, leaves. Super leaves are
flavorful.
Really. Yeah. You don't need much if you're putting it in a soup or stir fry or something.
Yeah, I'm going to make soup tonight and throw some in.
Mm-hmm.
I have all that lovage, and I'm going to divide that up and try and get it back closer to the fence.
Uh-huh.
Because it's in the way of the sprinklers and everything, you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt. But, God, talk about attracting beneficials.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's attracting beneficials right now, they're everywhere around it, is the carrot. The Queen Anne's lace.
Oh, that you have wild?
Yeah.
Wild carrot, Queen Anne's lace.
Well, it's not wild. It's left over from wherever.
Yeah.
It was a carrot.
Yeah.
And now it's just Queen Anne's lace. And it's got thousands of little creatures buzzing all over it.
Nice.
It's just amazing.
I got a big patch of parsley.
Oh, yeah.
It's just incredible. The insects on it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I have parsley too.
I have the seed parsley.
The seed parsley is doing its thing. And the parsley that I just harvested is, of course, not having seed. But parsley is another one.
Yeah.
The lovage too.
Yeah.
And they all come at different times. So it's
nice.
Great.
Yeah, I like how that always works.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Or thoughtful planting for sure.
Yeah.
Lots of exciting stuff happening. We're really getting into the great time of year right now.
Lots
fruits of
harvest
your labor
things.
And
good
food.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Yeah, I don't fix dinner. I just go graze.
Yeah, it's grazing season.
You know what? I find that too. I find that, you know, by the time, like when I get ready to eat at night, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
Just go out there.
Eating all day.
Celery stalk, a carrot,
there you go.
Parsley.
Yeah, pea here, bean there.
Did we mention that plant of peas?
We did not mention that.
Yeah, the kohlrabi and kale for the fall, and I planted peas. I'll probably do another planted peas just in a couple weeks.
Okay, so not too late to do that.
No.
And what kind of peas are you?
I just do the snap pea and the snow pea. And I do, and I'm going to do it later because I know that the snap pea likes the heat or can take the heat better than the snow pea. So I realize I should have just planted all snap peas, and then the next planting should have been all snow peas, but it's.
You just can't follow your own rules all the time.
That's just a thought.
You tripped yourself up.
Now that I think about it, I should have done it the other way. But anyways.
That's okay.
That's okay.
And it's not too late to plant.
It's
that's
not
a great
too late
thing.
To plant.
No.
That's what you really got to pay attention to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that was another fun half hour with you guys. And thank you, Andrea from Hotchkiss, for your call and information. And we'll be back next Tuesday, of course, at 6:30. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.